You can open in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34 as we continue our reading together of Scripture. We've now made it to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready by morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. And no man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain." So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took two stone tablets in his hand. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And he said, "If now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate. And do thou pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possession." Then God said, "Behold, I am going to make a covenant before all your people. I will perform miracles which have not been produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations, and all the people among whom you live will see the working of the Lord, for it is a fearful thing that I am going to perform with you. Be sure to observe what I am commanding you this day. Behold, I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself, that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, lest it become a snare in your midst. But rather, you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim. For you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and someone invite you to eat of his sacrifice, and you take some of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods. You shall make for yourself no molten gods. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out of Egypt. The first offspring from every womb belongs to me, and all your male livestock, the first offspring from cattle and sheep. And you shall redeem with a lamb the first offspring from a donkey. And if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. You shall redeem all the firstborn of your sons, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall work 6 days, but on the 7th day you shall rest. Even during plowing time and harvest you shall rest. And you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the turn of the year. 3 times a year all your males are to appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up 3 times a year to appear before the Lord your God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover to be left over until morning. You shall bring the very first of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write down these words, for in accordance with these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. And afterward all the sons of Israel came near, and he commanded them to do everything that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And whenever he came out and spoke to the sons of Israel what he had been commanded, the sons of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. So Moses would replace the veil over his face until he went in to speak with him. Thus reads the word of God. Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. This morning, we come to a passage dealing with one of the most wondrous and awesome realities of the Lord God Almighty. In truth, every time we see an attribute of God detailed in His Word, it should cause us to exclaim, O Lord my God, how truly great Thou art. This is that type of defining revelation of our Lord and Savior. It is a glimpse into that which God revealed of Himself to Moses on the mountaintop. It is the aspect of God which has caused Him to give us eternal life in His only begotten Son. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. He is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger, and He is abounding in loving kindness and truth. These characteristics can never be diminished, nor can they be overestimated. Who He is and what He does will always reflect the fact that what He showed Moses, He shows to each one of us every moment of every day for all of eternity. On this basis, we will be spending a number of weeks in both the Old and the New Testament reveling in this glorious truth of our God. This will not be exhaustive, because all of eternity will never be sufficient to expand and to expound and to come into the full knowledge of who God is and what He has done. However, we can lose ourselves in Him as a fellowship for the express purpose of bringing Him ever greater and more intense worship and praise. That is why a number of our passages will serve to offer praise and honor unto Him by those who have learned deeper facets and a greater accuracy of understanding regarding their limited vision of the incomprehensible Lord God Almighty. This was the case with Moses, as we read this morning in verse 9. He bowed in worship unto God, and it caused Moses to ask of the Lord the following in all earnest consideration of God's manifested excellence. Exodus 34:9. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, And do thou pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possession. The primary expression of the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth in the Old Testament, was evidenced in His giving of the Ten Commandments to His chosen people. He did so in order to guide and to protect His people from those things that would cause them to become just like the other nations surrounding them. Those nations lost in their vile practices and suffering from the plagues and consequences of their defilement. Through His law, God sought to offer His people life and protection and His expressed love. Please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 10, where the law is being given. And the Lord again gives expression to the characteristics which define the course of His relationship with His people. Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Please note how the Lord was protecting His people from the folly of worshiping and serving false gods, which are nothing more than the creations of man's imagination. He wanted His people to know Him, the Creator of heaven and earth. He wanted that in a living relationship with them, and not to delude themselves in the wasted efforts of idol worship. God was giving them the fulfillment of that which He has instilled into every human heart. It is the need for mankind to have and to experience an intimate fellowship with Himself. This is the reason that mankind in every tribe and nation has an innate need to worship something else. Sadly, that is often directed away from the one true living God and centered on those elements of this world which fail to appease that need. It only shows the intense futility of worshiping anything other than the Lord God Almighty. Again, in Deuteronomy 7:9, the nation was encouraged to know God in all His gracious love and faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. They are to know God as faithful and keeping His word and His promises with them. He will do everything that He says He will do. There is no shadow of doubt or dubious intention with God. When He makes a promise, it will happen as surely as the sun rises and the ocean waves break upon the shore. If the people would give themselves wholly to this seeking after God in obedience to His commandments, they would know Him in this wondrous relationship of His divine love to them. Inherent in this passage is the fact that we can know God, even with the limited faculties of our human mind and soul and spirit. We can know Him because He wants us to know Him. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God. It is as we seek to know Him that He will make Himself very real to us in the every matter that lies before us. We do not just absorb the information concerning Him and think that we know Him. It is as He proves Himself faithful that we know Him as truly and forever faithful. It is as He lavishes us with His compassion that we delve into the graciousness of His comforting presence. It is as we seek Him that we will find Him ever willing to be found of us. He does not make Himself obscure or inscrutable in the sense that no one will ever be able to know Him. He will open Himself to us in the manner in which we open ourselves unto Him. As He showed Himself to Abraham and to Isaac and to Moses and to King David and to generation after generation who sought to know Him, so has He opened His heart unto us in Jesus Christ. In Him, we get those glimpses unto the faithfulness and the graciousness and the mercy and the love of God for you and for me. Our Lord Himself told us this, as recorded in Matthew 11:25-27. Matthew 11:25-27. At that time Jesus answered and said, I praise Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in Thy sight. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Notice that it is not that God would never reveal the truth of Himself. It is the fact that He chooses to make Himself known to those whom He chooses to so bless. Not everyone will come into this relationship. He knows those who will be the recipients of His glorious revelation and reality. It is hidden in Christ to know the fullness of God. Unless one knows Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, that person cannot know God. He may know about God. He may have the theological basis and the doctrinal expertise. But to know, to truly know God is only for those to whom God makes Himself known in Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament days, that knowledge was centered in the promise of the Messiah, the one to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. All their hopes and their dreams and their eternity rested in the promise of the Christ to come. This then allows us to know Him in the measure as relayed to us in Deuteronomy 32:3-4. Deuteronomy 32:3-4. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God the Rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. We are given an even deeper glance into the divine nature of our God in this recognition. His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. So many people will rail against God, claiming that He would be unjust and unfair to sentence anyone to hell just because they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the face of those brash and faulty accusations, there is a complete lack of understanding as to what it cost God to send His only begotten and perfect Son to take upon Himself our sins and our transgressions. Those were nailed to the cross in the physical being of His Son, who suffered such abuse and torment and torture and death for any who will but call on His name. In the light of that truth, it is highly evident why eternal salvation can only be in the redemption that is available to all in Jesus. This is not only right and proper, but it is every bit just and faithful and righteous and upright in the manifestation of the so great love of God to us. His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. The Israelites were the direct recipients of the salvation of God from their slavery to Egypt and their bondage to the gods of the nations. Yet as blessed as they were in the knowledge of God, in such demonstrations of His sovereignty and His majesty and His omnipotence, they still turned and rebelled and refused to honor Him as their Lord and God. Their descendants were reminded of this in 2 Chronicles 30, verses 7 through 9. 2 Chronicles 30, 7 through 9. And do not be like your fathers and your brothers, who were unfaithful to the Lord God of their fathers, so that He made them a horror, as you see. Now do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter His sanctuary, which He has consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that His burning anger may turn away from you. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn His face away from you if you return to Him. Again, note the compassion and the graciousness of God so detailed for them if they would not harden their hearts and minds unto the Lord. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn His face away from you if you return to Him. If they would but return to the Lord and seek Him and honor Him and obey Him who was their Creator and Savior, they would come into the full realization of His grace and His compassion and His favor all the days of their lives. Again, another generation had to be reminded of the graciousness and the loving kindness of the Lord by the prophet Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:14 through 21, if you would please follow along. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 14 through 21. Nehemiah 9. So thou didst make known to them thy holy Sabbath, and didst lay down for them commandments, statutes, and law through thy servant Moses. Thou didst provide bread from heaven for them for their hunger. Thou didst bring forth water from a rock for them for their thirst. And thou didst tell them to enter in order to possess the land which thou didst swear to give them. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. And they refused to listen and did not remember thy wondrous deeds which thou hadst performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And thou didst not forsake them, even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt," and committed great blasphemies. Thou, in thy great compassion, didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. And thou didst give thy good spirit to instruct them. Thy manna thou didst not withhold from their mouth, and thou didst give them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years thou didst provide for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. What a wondrous characteristic of God is revealed in this accounting of the faithlessness of the people and yet the glorious faithfulness of God for all those years of wandering in the desert regions. But thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and thou didst not forsake them. God remained true and compassionate and provided all that they needed in order to demonstrate the fact that He is not like the supposed gods of this realm. He made them to know that He would care for their needs and supply everything required to get them through the harshest and foulest environment of this age, their own hardened heart and blasphemous attitude and behavior. He never did anything other than to show them the integrity of His heart in their provision and care and guidance, always trying to win their hearts unto Himself. So be it. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Amen.